Yeah, well, I see that as people trying to, people are basically moving into resonance, consciousness, alignment with the crop circle makers. And it seems to me all the vast majority of crop circles are confederation, positive, wake up catalyst provision. And so people who are making crop circles who are beautiful, you know, not old English guys who are trying to debunk or fake, but kindly people, are in a way stating their harmony with the Confederation. And I totally agree with big changes, big things happening, large shift. There's a lot going on that represents, I believe, a phase change from the continuing gradual consciousness awakening, right? So we have energy transformation into the fourth density condition. We have consciousness, humanity, collective consciousness transformation or development, also which is gradual, but also punctuated by phase changes. That humanity consciousness has to be understood in terms of the three groups: positive, negative, and disinterested, or neutral, or non-polarized, what Ra called the vast sinkhole of indifference, which is the people who are not truly positive or negative, and you know they're not even not harvestable, meaning not very positive, but not even clearly positive, just sort of instinctual, very second chakra, very sort of animalistic in the sense that I just take care of me and my little group around me, and I don't think about society or virtue or vice. So the unpolarized or indifferent are becoming more indifferent or denying or rejecting or avoidant or stuck or sick or materialistic. And the positive is more positive and the negative is more negative. Well, I believe when I saw the rioting in Brazil, which I recommend people look at on YouTube, something struck me as different. And actually, it was a little of a shock because I believe that that 2 million, 1 2 million person turnout occurred very spontaneously by some people who were making certain kind of protests against transportation or bus fare hikes in some town or city. And then it spread throughout the whole country and all the major cities in Brazil. Brazil is very populous, you know, and there are a lot of people hanging out. So there are a lot of people with a lot of free time, not a lot of money, not a lot of opportunity, but very close relations with each other. There are a lot of people who are very heartful there, certainly emotional, but also sincere and heartful, feelingful. And I believe it was a major telepathic transmission within the collective consciousness, very much 100th monkey kind of thing. And somebody even wrote about it and said that it's as if a seed crystal had been placed into a liquid or solution, bringing salt or precipitate out of the solution into form, and then you have 1 million people, 2 million people on the streets. Now, I think that that's what actually really happened. The people are very united in opposition. They can't really state all their demands, but they know they're being screwed. They know their government are liars and elitists. They know that they're not being treated well. They know that there's huge corruption and criminality in the government and upper business and elite groups. They know. Everybody knows, actually. But there was a sort of tipping point, and I believe a phase change, where there was an instantaneous awakening. And that's exactly, yeah, saturation effect. Yes, exactly. It's a difference of degree becoming a difference of kind. The degree was a degree of indignation or awareness of wrongdoing, of their government, spending millions of dollars for the Olympics or for the World Cup, meanwhile depriving healthcare and education and infrastructure and raising prices for all that. Enough is enough. So the straw that broke the camel's back is basically the revelation or perception of further government, selfishness, criminality, deception, falsity, that then basically had an effect of triggering mass awakening and an action. And it's a very big deal. And Brazil, I believe, is an important nation area for fourth density civilization. If you look at the flag, I believe that the flag of Brazil will be similar to the flag of Earth when Earth enters the Confederation in fourth density. How about that? If you look at the flag of Brazil, it's basically a planet with stars. And I believe that that flag will have some resemblance to a planetary flag of planet Earth in fourth density. And no, Ra didn't. I don't remember Ra saying one area with fourth density, but Ra said that fourth density is already forming. So, truth is bursting out all over. And the idea of Atlantis being seen now or being discovered or announced further doesn't surprise me. What's happening is that people everywhere are continuing to see that leadership are liars. And people are realizing, if they challenged NASA, the scientists or whoever on the Atlantis photographs, you'd see more lies and cover-ups then too. So more and more, the common folk are realizing that the leadership in every institution globally, it's certainly in their country, they're all liars and criminals. Very simple. And they have no credibility and trust is going to zero. That's a very big deal, actually. Which I see as fourth density wanderers finding their voice. Fourth density wanderers coming out of solution and precipitating and being part of as a catalyst to help people turn against deception and official wrongdoing. And that's what happened in Brazil, which is a spontaneous awakening arising. And I really think that the fourth density wanderers who are everywhere, I don't know how many, but they're everywhere, are more and more radiating a love of truth or a love of freedom. And so are the ordinary folks of the world. And it's going to grow. And it's nowhere, it's there are so many secrets. Because there are so many lies, I mean, there's this wall-to-wall lies from the government. Yeah, well, evil is strengthening. Real evil, meaning cruelty. Real evil is basically sadism, sadistic cruelty, wanton sadistic cruelty, and absolute mercilessness in harm. Harm to basically anyone, the innocent included. It's like gang behavior. I mean, worst, the worst of the worst. So, yeah, that's growing on Earth. Evil is growing, or the influence is spreading, as well as truth and love and honesty and the desire for justice. All of that is growing strongly on Earth. So, you need a strong stomach, to see these to stay with the world process these days. Well, Jesus was called the man of sorrows, and Ra called the wanderers the brothers and sisters of sorrow. Because of the profound compassion and care and love, which feels the pain of those in pain. That's how, Nityananda was not a smiley guy. The Buddha was deadly serious. Ra is very serious. And they have answers, but they feel the pain of humanity. So, there are many strange things. First of all, I want to give you a link to a beautiful song that I heard when I was 12 or 13 years old. And a guy named Gil Scott-Heron, New Yorker. America was finished in 40 years ago. The ideals of America were finished already 40 years ago. And he knew it. And when I listen to his music, I'm touched. He's a wanderer, sixth density. He's been here a long time. This was his last life. He saw it very clearly. And if you want to know why wanderers come to Earth, listen to a couple of his songs, meaning his beauty of love, wisdom, his the beauty of his blend and his integration of love and wisdom is just why wanderers come here, to experience the suffering and limitations of life on Earth. We come here for the catalyst of suffering and limitation and pain. Why? Because that's a fine catalyst for our further development of love wisdom, for our perfection of love wisdom. And in some of his songs, there's a perfection of love wisdom. There are two other songs that I recommend. One is called The Bottle. The other one is called We Almost Lost Detroit. You can find them on YouTube. The original version, studio version, not the live version. It's better to listen first. Profound love and social awareness, beauty, artistry. That's why wanderers come here. For an achievement akin to Gil Scott's achievement. A beautiful soul and very excellent portrayal of the type of creative, his creative expression is a demonstration of just what wanderers come here to develop. A very fine blend or integration of love wisdom forged through the suffering of being here. And all positive ETs, all positive adepts, all bodhisattva, all higher self knows suffering very well. Because they work to heal. They're healers. It's all about healing. That's what service is, healing. Service by mouth, by word, by thought, by written document, by energy, even by technology, although that's very minor. All service to other is for the purpose of making whole, making healed, making one, helping the person do that for him or herself. That's all. That's the purpose of service. And then, of course, the server, the helper, is further transformed and perfected by the service. Now, there are certain qualities of mind then that are associated with a very a well-developed being. And the better we know that, the less we'll be tricked and fooled by plastic smile and teeth and sweet words and fancy suits or badges or garb or clever talk. You remember what Ra said about solar flares or solar light and 60 union? Remember that? Right. They're having fusion sexual joining as, in their 6D light bodies dancing on the face of the sun. So that's why I said it must be a party up there. And when that happens, my sense is that it's a kind of service to the octave. The sun represents an eighth density being, or a being that surrounds or surmounts the whole octave. A logos is a Buddha, or a Buddha is really a logos, and it's finished with seven densities, so it represents an eighth density of encompassing consciousness or beingness that holds the whole holds the whole wide world in its hands, except that means the whole solar system. And so I believe that when they do that, it's not only an expression of their joy or mating season or ritual for group harmony and development, but there is some service to the octave by the transmission. And I would imagine that there are effects on the planetary electromagnetic envelopes, and many effects on nature and us that we're not aware of, that are beneficial or benevolent or supportive of the planetary development or human consciousness by those emissions. I'm not sure if anybody has. I'm sure there must be some documentation of, what actually do the, all the different, the various types of charged particles coming in. Where do they go? What do they do? Other than, knock out satellite action or electric grids sometimes. What else do they do? I think somebody wrote that there's some, evolutionary function of the reception of these high charged particles. Yeah, right. That I think that's a really very good point. I would imagine that, yeah, it could be a kind of food, a kind of nurturing or nourishment for the sixth and seventh chakras, which would be pineal and pituitary, or pituitary and pineal. So that very much sounds right. It would be perhaps some kind of communication, through the shuttle, right, into sixth chakra from eight to six. At least that's the region in which we're talking here. And eight to six is also related to the Council of Saturn. So the Council of Saturn, it would be very interesting to see if there are any changes associated with Saturn or the rings of Saturn, particularly at the same time the sun does this or our friends do this on the sun. Well, you know that all the planets of the solar system are going through changes. This was actually material that my friend Mark Cummings presented or shared to me personally, and then by that we ended up getting that to David, in 10 years ago, and that was part of the global shift tour information that David shared. Was a Russian guy, Dmitriev, who was tracking changes of the planets in the solar system, and that was one of the bases for understanding that global warming and various planetary changes are really part of a larger solar systemic change associated with the heliosphere, or the entire body of energy body of the solar system. And so pole shift on other planets is related to the pole shift here, is related to the changed energy condition of the entire solar system, guided by the sun or mediated by the sun, which is again, a function of the movement of the solar system around galactic center. The idea, and this is Ra's discussion of harvest, that it's the solar system's movement to a new portion of the galaxy that's associated with the harvest on Earth, but more so with the entire heliotropic change, heliospheric, meaning the whole body of the solar system. And so that would be expected on Jupiter, on Saturn too. My sense, though, is that there may be subtle changes in the rings of Saturn associated with action of the council, associated with solar action. There's a difference between energy chain, energy and physical changes of all the planets in the solar system and the sun itself, associated with the movement of the solar system into a new portion of the galactic clock face, versus solar changes per se based on the age of the sun, which surely are related to the development of the logos itself. Absolutely, of course, metaphysically. But I'm not sure, I'm not sure if the sun, our physical sun or our sun, is at a critical point in its own life journey. It may be, or it may not particularly, it's a nodal point for sure, because the change, it's a nodal point in that we're moving into a new region in which we'll be for a while. And it seems that, Ra used the term clock face, meaning distinct portions of a circular, multidimensional, spherical mechanism, actually. So that the physical characteristic of the galaxy is mechanistic, even though it's metaphysic, too. It's a mechanistic, metaphysical reality, metaphysical, mechanistic reality. So we're moved into a new portion of that mechanism, or that, living seven, multidimensional field. Then, of course, the sun changes on all the planets. That's not exactly the same as the sun, wherever it is in its transit as a solar system, the sun getting to some juncture of its own lifespan. I'm not sure that's what's happening now. It just seems that the whole solar system is moving into a new phase of its development, as associated with moving around to different charged zones of the galactic whole. There's some question about that the sun isn't hot, the space isn't hot, or it's light and energy, but it's not necessarily heat. But in line with the idea that solar emission affects the pineal and pituitary, the fact that there's this fuzzy chemical layer in the atmosphere would certainly be an obstructive, or obstruct and block perhaps a lot, the or somewhat, the effect of those particles coming to human mind, to human brain. So yeah, the negatives, they do anything that's harmful, and they prefer to do something that has multiple functions simultaneously. So one action creates five different areas of trouble or limitation. So they like that. They get points for that. So it seems that's yet another way that humans are being kept from appreciation of the one, the sun as an expression of the one. But yeah, that's gonna keep going. And I do agree also the sun is more accessible in Asia because there's just less chemtrail activity in the consciousness. There's more nature here in general. So, well, I would think, there's a lot going on. And so it can also be that increased solar emission, even though it comes in from into the higher chakras or affects higher chakras 6 and 7, also has a disturbing effect on lower chakra blockages. And so fear, fear in a dream can be, the release or an experiencing of lower second chakra blockage. It can also be psychic attack. It can also be premonition of the future. It'd be many things. So you have to determine by feeling what does it seem like this dream was? Did it seem like it was psychological? Did it seem out of body? Did it seem like a vision or premonition of the future? Which itself can be also mixed in with psychology. Like, I see the future that accords with my own fears. Right? I'm very preoccupied now with worrying about the house of cards falling down, so I dream of various disaster futures. Rather than I'm very involved in imagining the 4D positive world, and I dream of that. So you can dream, the revelation of future predictions or future possibility would also be affected by psychology, personal psychology, and blockage. Yeah, well, whatever you feel works, you know? I mean, you really kind of know what's helpful by observing the consequences of usage. So if we do something or we read something or with somebody, one way to know if it's benevolent is to simply observe the results, the consequences of that activity together or exposure or usage. So if you feel better by it, then it seems like it works well enough, at least somehow. The veil as a prism. Yes, because the veil is a diffracting it has a diffracting function, like diffraction. To really understand metaphysics, you have to know science, or it's very helpful to know terms from physics and biology and chemistry and this and that. I don't know so much, but that term is sort of the scattering of light. So yeah, that scattering of light from the prism through the octave or the septennate of 7 rays is similar to a scattering that happens between conscious and unconscious mind. However, I don't think it's a similar but not the same, because the veil in mind is also a kind of a cover. It's not only just it's opaque. I don't think that the prism or the three laws, you see, it's the three laws. It's the three laws or the triadic principles of the logoic, it's the triadic thought. 1, 2, 3. The triadic thought of the infinite creator into the three laws that manifests the septennate, 7 rays and octave, 7 dimensions and the octaves. So the octaves are the result of the one infinite experiencing itself in as a trinity. You know, the trinity, including Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that trinity is actually another form of the one infinite. And when the one infinite has the experience of its trinity thought, its three principles, naturally is created or manifest the septonate or the seven rays and the octaves. Now, that triadic thought, law of free will, law of love, law of light, that thought, the primary triangle of creation, is not the same as the veil in mind, because it comes from infinity, or it is of infinity in its nature, and there is no cover there. There's no covering between the infinite creator and the seven rays, or the seven densities. There's not an opacity, opaque, or shrouding, because the one infinite is the seven rays. The seven rays, seven dimensions is the one infinite. So the one infinite shows itself as the seven dimensions or octaves or seven colors. The one infinite is the seven rays, as seen through the triad of its original thought. So in that case, the triad, is not really a thing. It's actually just a way of seeing, or it's a modulation of the one infinite void. So the one infinite void self-modulates and naturally is experiences and manifests as a step down form into the seven dimensions and the octaves, seven colors. On the other hand, the veil in mind actually is a blocking. It's not a modulation of conscious and unconscious. It's a standing. It's basically a pattern. It's a pattern in the totality of the soul, in the heart. It's actually a vibratory influence in the soul, in the hierophant or significator, heart of mind, that prevents a certain kind of flow, certain kind of self-reflective flow of light. So it's a little bit different, and I can't say I understand that veil fully either, because I'm still veiled. So anyway, I hope that helps. Yes, it means multiple. You can say multiple, not unitary, dualistic. Yeah, so you see, using that term or applying that to the transit from the one infinite to the seven rays, seven dimensions and octaves, then the triadic thought of the three laws could be called an obstacle. I don't think it would be considered an obstacle. I would just consider that it's an outgrowth of the one infinite leading to further manifestation. Now, to the extent you see, it's funny. Ross says you're dancing thoughts. The dancing is light. The thought is a manifestation of the triad, the original triad of the three laws. Let there be, or there could be, or I see there is. Free will or will, therefore law of free will. I am love infinite, therefore law of love. That love may manifest in form, in space and time, with apparent movement and change, a law of light. So those three thoughts, or that one thought which has three sides, could be called an obstacle, or it could be called, it's not obstructive, to the creator. Not at all, of course. It's just a further manifestation. And that's why in Buddhism, there's some notion that thoughts are not the problem. Passion is not the problem. Sensation, consciousness, all that's not the problem. The problem is not seeing it clearly and believing in substantiality and therefore following it with desire and aversion. So the problem is ignorance or avidya. And when avidya becomes vidya, or knowing, which is not only the heart knowing, but also spirit illumination. So when there's a bright flash in spirit and we see, and then the mind knows, then ignorance dissolves or is lessened. As that happens, then naturally there's less grasping and aversion, the other two poisons. There's less gimme and I hate, or I must have, or I can't stand. There's less of that when we see more what we are, what is, without illusions. But I don't think that the veil, you see, the veil in our mind is like an obstacle or obstructive field. The three laws or the prism that gave rise to the seven is not considered an obstacle or obstruction or any kind of covering or shrouding, because the one infinite is not lost in the seven. Meanwhile, the riches of the unconscious are not present in the conscious mind. So that's what I'd say. That's very interesting. And I also think that for some sixth density wanderers from Ra's group, our first life was in Egypt. It's possible that wanderers had several lives incarnated on Earth before the current contract, before the series of lives of the current contract, which I believe is now ending, meaning time to go home and harvest. So it's possible that you checked in once or twice or anything in Atlantis, and it's possible that you had some lives in Atlantis and then took a break and then came back. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that I personally got from reading Ra and got this many years ago. The issue that healing is really change of consciousness. Healing is not fixing the body. Fixing the body may happen as a result of healing. Fixing the body or a fixed, healed, healthy body may not be the result of healing. So Ra talked about the case where people have done significant, sincere effort to help themselves or heal the body, bring the body back to health. And they failed. And yet they really have done all they could and done a lot. Then Ross said it's helpful to examine the higher value of continued limitation. Ross was saying that even though, that at some level of our being, those limitations are deemed appropriate. Meaning it's appropriate that the person, now this is in the case again where somebody has a illness or body disease condition, something, and has done a lot over a long time to help it. And they take responsibility for it, they accept their emotions, they've tried different options, they've rejected options that are not working, they've stayed with what seems to be working, and they kept open and they keep working and focusing on it, but it still didn't heal the illness. Then in those cases, it's helpful to consider basically the higher self perspective, and that requires six chakra activation. And the more we have six chakra activated, the more we'd be able to get information on the value of the body limitations. Illness as body limitation, or imbalance, or blockage, or disharmony. The value of that for consciousness change for the incarnation. There are lots and lots of body conditions that people will not have brought to health or healed for the entirety of the incarnation. Particularly, it's similar to early childhood wounding or trauma. Humanity doesn't have the methods for that type of healing right now. And you can go to lots of people who don't really know how to handle it, early pre-conscious trauma. And it affects the brain and affects the very structure and function of the nervous system. And that leads to disharmonious consciousness or not being happy. And then that person, there are ways of healing it for sure, but very few people will find them or make enough effort to find them. And then in that case, part of it is an examination of what could I be learning by living with this? And there are many functions. It's the same thing why people will, many, or maybe all of us will finish this lifetime without true soulmate joining. Maybe not every all of us, but in one level we could imagine that, or it may be so that we'll all finish this lifetime without joining the perfect loved one externally. Why? That's part of the plan. Why? Many reasons. Many. And depends on the person, but there are many in common, like the value of standing alone, the value of greater emotional self-sufficiency, the value of strengthening the hunger for the beloved, right? The heart grows fond. In absence, the heart grows fonder. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Revaluation and clearer understanding of just what it is that we're missing and what it is we value, meaning perfect joining with a partner, perfect soulmate union. In general, that's not happening in 3D physical for anyone, actually. But most people don't know what it means. 6D wanderers know what it means. 4D wanderers know what it means in their own way too. Because perfect joining is the way of higher positive dimensions, of course. And we knew it, and we know it, and we'll know it again, and be in it again, but not here. Why? It's part of the agreement. It's part of the sacrifice. It's part of the cost of doing business. Doing business being helping the logos, coming down here, helping the transformation of the cycle, 3D cycle. So that's the cost of part of the cost of doing business. Just, okay. So it is a, and again, knowing the degree of our sacrifice here is valuable. Wanderers have sacrificed and lost a lot, in terms of higher dimensional harmonious experience, all gone, while here in 3D body. Yet, it's very much related to the last tarot cards that we talked about, where Ra is discussing their inadequate appreciation of negativity, that they didn't actually appreciate negativity either fully. And that relates to, the movement from the significator of spirit to the choice, which means a certain unity of view to all life, happy, sad, positive, negative, free and limited. To see it all as, the melody of the plucked strings of the one logos, of the one creator, the one infinite creator plucking the strings of its vibratory being, and appreciating the sounds of disharmony equally with the sounds of harmony, there's an equalness, or one, Buddhism talks about that kind of equality of view. So one Chan master, Zen master in China, something like said something like, since my complete enlightenment, absolutely nothing has happened. Me, since my awakening, absolutely nothing has changed. Meaning, he's no longer experiencing change as change, but change as kind of a variable perception of one substance. So that's esoteric, but yeah, so there's a lot to say about healing. And healing doesn't really mean fixing the body. It actually means, Ra said, what is healing? It's basically a reconfiguration of consciousness energy in accord with the law of one, which means, love, wisdom, and back to appreciation, wise and fair appreciation of all the sounds, including the sound of limitation and solitude or non-union, the apparent, non-union with our beloved. So, and you're absolutely right that even high theoretical talk, like about the Confederation, that's a top-down healing, meaning healing the emotional by way of reformulated view or ideation, ideas, concepts, understanding of creation and the game, the way that higher beings help in this world and their nature, their activity, and our place in it. That can then lead to emotional pacification or peace in the emotional, reharmonizing, healing in the emotional, for sure. So top down, bottom up, both are good. Meaning working from the sensory, emotional, personal, psychological, historical upwards to karma and responsibility and the higher self plan. And playing the scale down too, from a reformulated view or a refined view of metaphysics, creation, interdimensional life, soul evolution and cosmic plan, down to the emotional, so that our being here as emotional beings in a body is more pleasant because we're less confused and we have a big ceiling. The roof has been removed. There's no roof in the house now. And then we remove the walls, and then we remove the floor. And then, of course, that's actually relation to the last cards of the spirit cycle. The Fool, there's no building there. The final human-made structure of any significance is transformation of spirit, card 20, judgment, which is resurrection. After, a greater achievement of higher self in significator of spirit 19, then we have transformation of spirit 20, resurrection out of the crypt. The triple trumpet blow from the logos or the guardian, arising body, mind, spirit in a single, a triadic triple way up out of the crypt, the big box. That's the last card with any major human structure. 21 and 22. 21, we have basically the cycle, the wheel of time, actually, as the sun. The sun as the wheel of time and element change. And then the player of harp, the player of the harp being a cosmic force, and no buildings. And 22, the choice, he's basically the wanderer, not a fool, or an enlightened fool, without any home, homeless, and the structures have fallen, and the sky is empty. So there's a certain return to emptiness. at the top, both moving into fourth density or getting out of the octave. So the human has been dissolved at the end of the path. So also understanding things like the Confederation and Cosmic Plan helps us become free of limited human conditioning, false ideas. Wisdom is a rather lonely matter. So departure from the false views of others, just like the one of those cards, the devil card, I think. Detachment from the illusory husks of the opinions and beliefs of others, to the extent that they're wrong or distorted, or that we're attached to them. So, okay. But I really, we'll get back to it, I guess, when we talk about healing or transformation of mind. Because in many ways, the movement from the matrix to the great way, being the movement from position one to position seven, or node one to node seven in each of the cycles, mind, body, spirit, that is in many ways the movement from first chakra to seventh chakra. It is analogous, not perfectly, but it is analogous. And so the movement from matrix to significator, particularly, is very much the movement from second and third chakra clearing of blockages to fourth, fifth, center development, and involvement of sixth, four, five, love, fourth chakra, fourth ray, fifth ray, development and balance, and coordination with six. That very much is the work of moving from matrix to significator in each series. So you can, in fact, you can get very esoteric. Okay. You can get very esoteric and say that there are three streams of energy clearance from root to sixth chakra. There's the stream of body, and then mind, and then spirit. Meaning there are three major vibratory qualities in the clearance of one through six, or the development of one through six. And so there's the mind aspect, or the mind cycle work in the clearing of two and three and development of four, five, six. And then there's a body, and there's a spirit, the vibratory working, or body and spirit working in the clearing of two and three and movement of development into four, five, six. So that two, three clearing and then balanced activation of four, five, and coordination with six, that has three aspects: mind, body, and spirit. That's a very esoteric way of looking at it. So the clearance of two and three and development of four, five, six it can be understood as a threefold process. Threefold just in the sense of there are three primary qualities to that working. That of mind, that of body, that of spirit. And that's why, the complexity of the working of two, the work of two through six, two, three, four, five, six, that work is multifaceted, multi-level, and one way of dividing that work is into the cycles of mind, body, and spirit. And that's why, again, some people have had real-life awakening, Satori, enlightenment experience, even first level penetration somewhat, where they felt unity and bliss and joy and perfection and tremendous ease in love and well-being, and a sense of the all-sacred perfection of all. Yet still then too they have second, third chakra blockages. Somewhat anger or self-pity sorrow or fear and anxiety about something, or doubt, because even though you can say a line of light went from one to seven, The rest of the channel is blocked. Other portions of the channel are still blocked. The channel of 1 through 7, 1 to 7. And so there's one line of light. It's a little bit like a lotus root. If you know the design of a lotus root plant, it's, you know, they've got tubes or holes. If you slice it crosswise, not lengthwise, crosswise, you see many little holes in that crosswise slice. And those are tubes, tubules within the lotus root to take whatever from the bottom to the top, up and down, back and forth. That's a little bit the way the column, the Sushumna, looks in my uneducated view, from root to crown, in that there are channels. There's a progressive widening of the aperture of the tubule of the channel from root to crown. And they can be understood in the way of three works, body, mind, spirit. So matrix to significator, particularly in mind and then in body and then in spirit, represents a fuller working of the clearance of 1 through 6, first to sixth ray, or first to seventh, really, the whole thing. So the tubules get bigger. The cavity, the empty space or cavity, the open hole, the empty space from 1 to 7 increases as the distortions of mind decrease, as chakras second, third are cleared, and 4, 5, 6 develop in three parts, or understood as a threefold simultaneous process. Development of mind and then body and spirit to move to significators, to basically activate significator through, catalyst that potentiates the matrix, creating experience leading to dwelling in the significator. Right? Catalyst from within and from the external potentiate can be used to potentiate the matrix so as to develop experience that leads to dwelling and harmony with the significator, which then, of course, goes to transformation and then moving forward great way. So particularly that 1 to 5 or matrix to significator development done in three parts is the full clearing of the channel from root to crown. And that's a very deep, useful understanding, I think. Any questions or comments? Well, I treat you at your best. So there's no coddling here. So I just say what I mean, I'm just saying what I think, And I'm not trying to water it down. And if it's true, then it's valuable, and the stretching to know it is valuable too. Yes, I think so. I mean, the teacher should be beyond us, If the teacher isn't beyond us, then he's not really our teacher. Beyond us in this sense just means, knowledge maybe, or metaphysical comprehension. But the teacher, whoever, should really be beyond where we are, and therefore, like Ra. Ra really is beyond us, and or those teachings are beyond what we fully know and live. And that's how the teacher is for real, is that they've done more work than we have. They are further along. They really are. And they don't try to make it easy. They try to help you strengthen your desire to get to where they are. A good teacher isn't showing off, and isn't trying to make it difficult, and is, flexible in the way of presentation. But in many ways, what they're encouraging is your desire to keep going. They're encouraging your desire to develop greater knowing and your to continue on your path. And there's a sense of enthusiasm because I want to be there too, and I want to develop more too, right?
Older.
Well, I think that all sixth density wanderers know what Ra knows, but we're not able to access it. A fourth density wanderer would know it also, but it would be less familiar or not quite near at heart. It would be sort of a little bit more of a distant sensing and knowing, but knowing from a distance, while the wanderer would feel it in heart more deeply, and those from Ra's group would feel it more strongly. And yes, we don't know it because we're here under the veil, which we agreed to. I think the frustration goes away when you know as much as you consider that you know as much as you need to know. Meaning, if you have a specific interest, read about it and meditate on it, and then come to know it. We're still under the veil. So for me, there is a sense of it's enough to know what I know. I mean, honestly, I had this sense in 1985. So, I mean, I'm 20 plus years out from already feeling it's enough. I'm good. Okay, I'm good. They said, "Yeah, you're good, but you got to stay. You're not finished yet." It's making peace with being limited. And not blaming yourself, and not expecting the impossible. It's unrealistic to think that you could easily have the full knowing you had before. You can. I mean, look, if you really want it, you can become a Buddha here too. You can become an Arhat on the adept path. You can do it. Just meditate a lot and study focused a lot, and make sure your technique is right, and go. Jump in, meditate 3 hours a day. That'll move the process along a lot faster. Yeah, well, if you are deep on the adept path and you've had, multiple awakenings, you might feel much more at ease. So it's complicated. I think that there are two elements to that. One is a basic frustration at living on Earth. And being under the veil, or being much, having available to us much less than we normally do or know we should. That's a basic level. And then there's, knowing our potential and not living it, and patterns of self-blame. That's a psychological blockage. But it is possible to make more effort. If you're not happy with something, make more effort. Right, exactly. The more you're involved in blame and guilt, the less you will be getting what you want. And it's also a whole lot easier to blame ourselves and feel sorry for ourselves than to make effort to make changes. But I would just say that there can be a kind of looping self-blame that becomes a habit that we become attached to, which is that it's a whole lot easier and satisfying to blame myself and feel stuck, blame myself for my ignorance and my being stuck, than to make the efforts to get out of stuck, which is basically surrendering to the feelings more and making, like in meditation, surrender to the discomfort. With a focus on keeping awareness or mindfulness and just go through it. That's a whole lot harder than the somewhat masochistic pleasure of repeated self-blame or chronic self-blame at our limitations, which are real. So, that's it's another kind of avoidance in a way. It's just easier. It's like it's easier for us to curse the Illuminati and humanity at their idiocy and their negativity than to do our meditation, than to sit in meditation. Much harder to sit an hour in meditation than to spit on stupid humanity. Right. We change nothing and we just spent time, becoming acidic. So anyway, thank you again. Have a good night. See you soon. Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.